All right. Well, welcome to our church. If you're joining us for the first time, before we get started, I just want to just remind you that today we're celebrating our 7-year anniversary. 7 years. And I just want to tell you, if you've joined us recently, or you've been here from the very beginning, or you went in between, I just want to just remind you all that what God is doing here is a miracle. And if you're not aware of this, especially in Miami, being the second largest, most unchurched city, Dade County, by the way, second largest unchurched city in the U.S., church plants have an 80% rate of failure. And what's even more ironic of all of this is if you have no sponsoring church helping you financially, you're pretty much doomed. And this church is what it is today because of you guys. We don't have a church backing us up, paying our bills, making sure everything's fine. We've always done it together and we've always stuck together. And it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter how much they criticize, how much they tell you it's not going to work. I was even told that I shouldn't even be a pastor before I even started ministry. They told me, there, we don't think you're called. Can you believe that? But through it all, no matter what happens, no matter what people say, the Bible says that God is the finisher of all things. And whatever God has ordered, He will provide for. So we're here for 7 years because we serve a God of miracles. We've gone through it all, and I'm going to talk about some of those things today in this sermon that we have today. But if you've been blessed by our ministry, if you've been blessed by the fellowship of this church and all the friends you've made in this family, would you just show me your hands real quick? Just show me your hands right now. I don't know all of you. I don't know. Some of you I know too well. But we're all family here. And I don't just say this because it's our church, but our church is very unique. I've never seen it quite like this in any church, where everyone pretty much is just looking to get closer to God as well as getting closer to each other. It's a lot of love in this place, don't you agree? But it's so good to be here today. I have a message for you that it's a little different, but I got to tell you that this message really spoke to me as I read it through in the Bible, and I felt like it was something that would be perfect for our anniversary service. I want to go to Matthew chapter 20 as we learn about our church and we learn about what God has been doing. You're going to learn a little bit about your pastor too, some stuff that you've always wondered. Matthew 20, verse 20. The Bible says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's son came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt down before him, asking him for a favor." So she wants Jesus to do her a favor. "What is it that you want?" he asked. I just want to pause right there for a second because I want you to understand the question that Jesus is asking. And it's the same question he's asking you today. What is it that you want? Think about that, church. What do you want from God? What do you want in life? What do you want God to do with you? This woman comes to Jesus and she's asking him for a favor. That was bold. That was like nothing no one's ever done. A woman then did not just go to a leader in the ministry, a rabbi, and just go and talk to him. That didn't happen. So this woman was bold even to step in front of Jesus and to even ask him for a favor. She knelt down before him and he asked, "What is it that you want?" She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and then the other at your left in your kingdom." Notice what Jesus says here. You don't know what you're asking. Jesus said to them, "Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink?" Now, I want to do something a little challenging, but I think it worked. We're going to go back a few hundred years to Genesis chapter 44 now. You guys with me this morning? And as we go there, we're talking now about the story of Joseph, and I want you to see this. Now, Joseph gave these instructions to a steward of the house. Fill the men's sacks with as much food as they can carry, and put each man's silver in his mouth in a sack. Notice verse 2. Then put my what? Say it one more time. Put my? All right. Then put my cup, the silver one, notice, in the mouth of the youngest one's sack along with the silver of his grain. And he did as Joseph said. As morning dawned, the men went on their way with their donkeys. They had not gone far from the city when Joseph said to his steward, "Go after those men at once. And when you catch up with them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid this good with evil? Isn't this the cup my master drinks from? This is a wicked thing you've done.'" So Joseph gets this cup and he tells his servant, "I want you to put this cup inside my brother's bags. And as they go back home, I want you to go after them and accuse them of stealing that cup. Go ahead and do it." In verse 9, the Bible says that his brother said, "If any of your servants is found to have it, he will die, and the rest of us will become slaves." So they all were filled with fear when they were accused of taking this cup. I want to preach to you guys this morning on the topic of the cup before the crown. You say that one more time. The cup before the crown. Say it with me. The cup before the crown. Now tell your neighbor, "Hey, the cup comes before the crown." Tell your neighbor, "You can't get the crown unless you get through the cup." Now shake them. Go ahead, grab them. And say, "Are you willing to drink from the cup?" Go ahead, you guys. All right, ready for this sermon? Give God some praise. You're going to get blessed today. You're going to get blessed today as we go into this series, this sermon on growing pains, how to become great. We all want to be great. We want great life. We want a great spouse with that life. We want to have great kids with that spouse. We want a great car on our way to our great job so we can make great money to have a great house so we can tell all our great friends how great we are. And in the end, we want to look back and say, "Man, wasn't my life great?" So I'm going to preach to you, how do you get greatness? What greatness is. And I'm going to preach from a cup and a crown. Here's something you don't know. Oftentimes people ask me, "Pastor, how do you come up with your sermons?" I'll tell you. I sit down and I read the Bible just through it. Okay, I'm not the type that just goes through other pastor sermons. That's the truth. I don't go through books. "Oh, this is a nice one. I might preach this." No, I just sit down and I read the Bible for myself, not for you guys. So that when the Lord reveals something to me, for me, and in turn I say, "Wow, this helped me. It might help my church." And that's how Forward gets their series. This is how Forward gets their sermons. I just sit down and I read the Bible, and sometimes I'll be driving, sometimes I'll be talking to someone, sometimes, you know, I'll be at the grocery store, and but once in a while, I'll sit down and I'll watch TV, or I'll watch a movie, and I'm watching a movie, and there's a scene that comes up, and sometimes that hits me, and I say, "Wow, that's a great message. I think I'm going to preach on that." Can I show you the movie that I'm talking about? It's a good one. I want to show you a clip of this. Oh, that was the movie that I was watching. And if you don't know, it's called Billy Madison. And as I'm watching that scene really hit me, by the way, because as I'm watching it, it shows you, depicts that Billy goes back to his elementary school and all the kids are excited to see him. And one of them says, "I can't wait until I'm in high school. I can't wait so I can experience what you're experiencing. I want to have what you have. Basically what he was telling him. Not knowing the truth and the reality of what high school really was. You see, Billy was getting picked on. He was being laughed at. He hated going to high school. But he told everyone, oh, high school is great. I love high school and all that. And when that kid said, I want to go to high school, I can't wait. I love the honesty. He grabs him and says, don't you ever say that again. Explaining to him the reality of not understanding what he was asking for. What a picture of what we just read in the book of Matthew. This woman comes up to Jesus and she's basically asking him for something great. She's saying, listen, I have two sons. I want both of my sons to sit down with you side by side in your kingdom. She was asking him, hey Jesus, do you think you can give my sons blessings? Can you give them a high position? Do you think you can give them a place of honor? I want you to do great things in their life. And like Billy Madison, it's like almost like Jesus grabs this woman in the face. He didn't, but it says, woman, you don't know what you're asking for. You don't know the truth about what you're wanting right now. You don't know what it takes to get what you're asking, what you want. See, something interesting in this passage stood out to me. This woman wanted her sons to have a crown in the kingdom, because those that sat side by side by the king had a crown as well. So she's telling Jesus, I want my sons to wear a crown. But then Jesus said, listen, before you even think about getting this crown, you got to think about drinking this cup. Listen closely. Because I often wonder what Jesus meant by this. But it's fascinating. Because in the Bible, a crown was a symbol of power and victory. That's it. Those two things. The crown was a symbol of power. Those in authority wore it. And it was also a symbol in the New Testament of victory. Those who won a race will get a crown. So the crown represented two things. Power and victory. And in the Bible, the cup represents hardship, suffering, and pain. You guys remember when Jesus was in the garden? And he's crying because he knows what's about to take place. And he prays to God the Father and he says, Father, if it's possible, let this what be passed by me? This cup that represented suffering and pain. Is there any other way? But not my will, let your will be done. So you see, the cup always represented suffering and hardship and pain. So what Jesus was telling this woman is what I want to tell you this morning. You might be asking God today for position. You might be asking God for blessing. You might be asking God to change something in your life. You may be asking God for a miracle. You may be asking God for favor. You may be asking God for honor. Something. But see, Jesus tells this woman something I think we all need to understand. That before God can even bless you, before God can even do miracles in your life, and before God can even give you a position of honor, you have to be willing to go through suffering. You might have to go through some painful things. You might have to go through some hardships. And we live in a society today, especially in the church, that we want God to do things in our lives easy. We want God to bless us instantly. We want God to change our lives right away. We want God to make everything peaceful and graceful and happy in our lives right now, God. It's almost like you expect God in one church service to do what you've done in 30 years. And you're telling God, I want to change it today. But understand that like this woman, we often don't understand what we're asking God. We don't often understand that what you're praying about has great responsibilities. That there's things that God wants to do in your life. But He's being truthful to you and He's saying, listen, before I can bless you, before I can give you, before you can receive favor, you might have to go through some painful things. You might have to go through suffering. We want God to do it easy. We want position like nothing right away. We want God to bless you right away. You want God to favor you and give to you right away. But oftentimes our mindset is only on the crown and we don't realize that before you can even get to the crown, you have to go through the cup first. Amen? It's not easy to be blessed. It's not easy to have honor. It's not easy to have a great life. It's not easy to raise a great family. It's not easy to have a great marriage. It's not easy to have a great future. It is not easy to have a great relationship with God. That takes a cup of hardship, a cup of suffering. So I wonder, like this woman, you might be in a position where you're telling God, God, I want to be blessed, but God's saying, I want to bless you, but you have no idea what you're asking for. It's almost like God is doing a Billy Madison on you this morning. Do you realize what you're asking me for? Do you understand what you want me to do for you? Do you not grab the concept of what it's going to take for you to accomplish what you're asking me to do? I thought about the cup of marriage and how many couples just tell God, Lord, I want to be blessed. I want to be married. So let's talk to the single people first. So there's a single cup that you're tired of drinking from. Is it, I'm just so alone and I sleep alone and I eat alone and you're crying all the time. But the married person will say, man, I wish I could have your cup. The single person says, oh, I wish I was married. Oh, God, please send me that one. And I feel like God grabs you. Do you understand? This is not the notebook. I am not Nicholas Sparks. I'm Jesus. And marriage is hard. Marriage is suffering. Marriage is not easy. Are you willing to take that cup? And then they get married. They have some issues, so they tell God, God, bless my marriage. God, fill our marriage with love. What do you think God's going to say? Here's some love. It doesn't happen. I hear it. I don't believe it. People say, no, we woke up one day and we were in love again. We woke up there. I mean, we just woke up. I prayed and all of a sudden he couldn't keep his hands off me. It doesn't happen. Because now marriage, in order to be blessed and flourishing and fruitful and fun and enjoyable, you got to go through suffering. The marriage cup is one where you pray to God, Lord, bless my marriage. And God says, you don't know what you're asking for. It's going to take that you submit to one another. It's a tough cup to swallow. Amen? You're going to have to be kind, compassionate, unconditionally. The cup's getting harder to swallow, isn't it? You're going to have to be selfless. Give yourself to one another. Treat each other kindly with respect. Are you still wanting to drink from this cup? Because God is not just going to make it happen for you. You got to put in the work. Then that couple goes and they pray for children. a huge cup to swallow. Yeah, they're cute. I guess sometimes some of them are, I don't know. But you're asking God, Lord, we want a family. We want a little family. And then the family comes. And you don't sleep anymore. And it's no longer about you anymore. No, you're going to Disney World. Not Hawaii. You're going to have to get up and watch cartoons now. Not SportsCenter. That's a tough cup to swallow. It's all about them and their little recitals and all their hobbies and little soccer practice and all the time and everything and your bank account. Forget it. But that's a hard cup to swallow. And then, if you pray, Lord, I just pray that my children grow to love you. Do you know what you're asking me for? Because if you think you're just going to drop off your kids in church and they're going to come out awesome, you got another thing coming. You want to raise a godly family, you got to be godly yourself. That's a tough cup to swallow. You want to raise a godly family. It's not just having integrity in church. You need integrity at home. You can't be one way here and one way at home. Your kids remember that stuff. You want a godly family. You're going to have to watch over them. You're going to have to read scripture to them. You're going to have to be an example. You're going to have to take them. No, not take them to church. You force them to church. Those are your kids. Who do you think you are? It's I don't mind. I'm 16. I can do what I want. Please. That's a tough cup. There's the character cup, my favorite one as a pastor. Lord, change my attitude. Lord, I'm struggling with this temper of mine. You know me, temper. God says, you know what you're asking me for? Because I'm not just going to give you patience. I'm not just going to give you kindness. I'm not just going to instantly make you a nice person to be around. You got to work on that. But God, I'm not a people person. He loves when you say that to him. Because then people is what you're going to get. God, help me with my patience. He sends you the most annoying person ever to work with, to be with. I don't know how God works. But he puts opposites in your life. But maybe he's building character. Lord, just help me with this anger. Someone cuts you off. That's a tough cup to swallow. When you're telling God, Lord, I want this. Change this. There's the financial cup. Lord, bless my finances, but you don't tithe. You're just asking God for more money. That's what you're doing. You want God to fix your finances, but you have no method of what it is to have proper spending habits. Wearing things you know you can't afford. Complaining about things you don't have because you bought something else. You're telling God, I'm broke all the time. I don't know what I'm going to do. And God says, do you know what you're asking me for? My favorite cup is the ministry cup. You guys know what the ministry cup is? Those in ministry here? I see it all the time, people. I Billy Madison them. I really do. All the time. I remember when I was a younger pastor here at Forward, maybe 2 years into it, they asked me to be the pastor at this youth camp. That was fun. And this kid comes up to me. The second year of our church was one of the hardest. Horrible. I was burned out. I was tired. This bubbly little brat comes up to me and he says, Pastor, you blessed me. I was like, thank you. Pastor, I want to be a pastor one day like you. And I want God to use me. And I want to change the world. And I grabbed that kid and I said, kid, shut up. That's what I told him. I said, shut up. I said, listen, you don't know. Because you see the little stage and the little lights, you see the people there watching. Listen, you don't see the hard times. You better think about what you're praying about. That's what I told him. I still connect with him. He's a pastor today. He always reminds me. He's like, man, that was not easy to hear. But the ministry cup is when you tell God, Lord, I want you to use me. I want you to bless me. Lord, please, I want to be used by you. Because you think ministry is easy, but this church has gone through hardships and huge cups. They don't realize the life of a pastor, how lonely it is, how discouraging, how much we burn out and everything. The only reason I'm still here today is by God and because I have an awesome church. That's it. I really do. And you guys aren't that bad. But the ministry cup is one that every week, there's a little cut that forward there. Every week. I got a phone call yesterday, Pastor, our door just broke off. I'm like, what? Off the hinges. It's like, how did that happen? It's always, we've had a flood. Remember the flood of 2015? That was crazy. Pipe just burst in the lobby. And I found out through Facebook, pray, church is flooded, looking like Noah. I was like, what? It's been crazy. I'm not going to name any names, but Maria set our lounge on fire once. That was fun. Hey, remember when the coal lobby went, that coal went through our lobby? What a cut that was. We were broke, and now we had to figure out how to put a window. Thank God we have Dad, though, right? He can make pictures of plywood, and he just sticks it on by. We've had cups. So people might come up to four and say, what a blessing, man. You look at God's... And I'm like, you don't know the cups we've had to swallow in this church. We're going to swallow a lot of cups, guys. But always remember that for every cup, there's a crown. For every hardship you're going through now, for every struggle... I mean, ministry is tough, and this church has been... And people are weird. This is a church of some of the best, but also some of the weirdest people I've ever met. Just this, was it Friday? Yeah, Friday, when I went to Burger King. When I went to Burger King, this guy just comes. Is he here today? He's not here, right? All right. He comes up, and he's like, you called the cops on me, bro? You called the cops on me? I was like, what? No, I know you called the cops, and now we got to fight like men. And I said, and he grabbed me. And I was like, don't grab me. And I said, listen, you're mistaken. He goes, no, now we got to fight. I'm not going to fight you. You're like, oh, why not? Because I don't fight. And I went, I shoot. Yeah, I showed him my gun. I'm like, yeah, now what? No, I'm kidding. But anyway, but I told him, listen, you know, I'm not going to fight you. I left it at that. And when I go back to church, Maria says, Pastor, when I hear her say Pastor, something's wrong. Pastor, I need you for a minute. Now. I go outside and there's a guy with our pizza. And eating like it's all good. And I was like, Maria, get inside. And when I talked to the guy, he was like, hey, thanks for the food. This is awesome. I was like, are you psycho? You just grabbed me. You assaulted me. And he goes, hey, I didn't do that. He completely forgot he did that. And the worst thing is, hey, I've been looking for a church. They're like, not bipolar, God, please, not bipolar, please. But see, ministry and life and family and everything, you might be asking God, please do something great in my life, Lord, please. But it's hard. We've had so many cups in this church. Like, you're going to have so many cups in your life. So whatever you're asking God for, the Bible says consider the cost. You want a great marriage, that's going to have a big impact on your life. Great. But it requires a lot of sacrifice and suffering. You want a great family with a great life. You want greatness. That's awesome. But consider what it's going to take for what you're asking God to accomplish in your life. You're asking God to be married. Yeah, you don't have the character for marriage. So just pray for a companion, a friendship, or a puppy. Not a husband.
It is bad, I know.
But consider, how many are asking God for something? Show me your hands. You're asking God for something. Good. Have you considered what it costs? Have you considered what it takes? Because yeah, the crown is great. The crown is wonderful. But every crown has a cup. Huge crown. But understand that God is saying this as good news. Because you might be in this church right now and you're saying, Pastor, I'm going through so much hardship. I'm going through so much suffering. And life is so hard and it doesn't make sense. Can I just tell you, in the 7 years we've been a church, there's been a lot of things that have made no sense that God has allowed us to go through. It's been hard. But what kept us going was the crown. Knowing the people we were going to bless. Knowing the lives we were changing. Knowing the people that were on their way to heaven because of the cup we were willing to drink from. It's been a hard 7 years. But there's a crown in the end for us, church. And there's a crown in the end for you. Don't ever think that you can avoid the cup. Jesus himself asked God, is there another way besides this cup? And God said no. Sometimes God says no, you have to go through this. It's hard, you're going to suffer, but God wants you to know, behind every cup, there is a crown. Look at what Timothy says in chapter 4, verse 6. As Paul was writing to this church, something phenomenal that he says, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. What's he talking about? He's saying this, and I'm like a cup. I've gone through so much. I feel like I'm just being poured out like a cup. I feel like I'm just a cup. Has life been so hard and giving you so many cups, you're just saying, like, I might as well be a cup myself. That's what Paul said. I'm like a cup. And the time is coming for my departure. This is the end. But notice what he says in verse 7. I have fought the good fight. Notice Paul said, this cup requires that you fight. How many of you are fighting right now for something? How many of you are fighting for a dream? You're fighting for your family. You're fighting for your health. You're fighting for your future. You're fighting for yourself. And you keep fighting things. You're fighting the bills. You're fighting with people. You're fighting with sickness. You're fighting with life. There's a fight in every cup. We don't like the fight. The fight is struggling and hardship and it's suffering. And you're tired of the fighting. You're tired of the struggle. You're tired of everything being so hard on your life. But God wants you to know this, that Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Why a good fight? Not because you fight well. It's because what's happening after the fight. That's why it's a good fight. Because Paul knows once I go through this fight, something good is going to happen. And I'm here to tell someone that you might be going through a fight of your life, but something good is on the way for your life. So keep fighting for what you're fighting for. And Paul says, I have finished the race. Because when you're in the fight, you want to quit. When you're in the fight, you want to give up. When you're in the fight, you just want to call it quits and say, God, forget this. I'm not going to do it. But Paul said, even though I have fought a good fight, something good's coming. I've kept my faith. Can I tell you one of the hardest things that Paul's saying? The cup has a fight. What you're fighting for is for something good. But keep the faith. I can't tell you how many times in 7 years in this church we've just had to keep our faith. When we had no money for rent, and we were struggling, grabbing whatever we could to sell in garage sales. Remember those days? We kept our faith. When bad people came to this church to try to divide us, we kept our faith. Through all the struggles and hardship, sometimes it was things as simple as weather. We've kept our faith. You know those pretty little Thanksgiving dinner on luncheons and all we do? That's a cup every year. We've lost power. That was fun. I remember the night before one of those events. Your pastor and Danny and Dad and someone else, Frankie, was there. Pouring down rain, holding on to a roof so it wouldn't fly away. You guys were all in bed. Can't wait for tomorrow. Pouring rain, and I'm here telling God, could you not just give me one simple year? Honestly. But we've kept the faith. There's things in your life you're not going to understand. But you need to keep your faith. Because Paul says, you're going to go through a fight. You're going to finish this, and something good's going to happen. But you have to keep your faith. And look at what he says in verse 8. This is powerful. Now there is in store for me the what? The crown. You know, Paul is so honest. He could have just said, dear church, I got me a crown. But Paul said, dear church, I'm in the fight of my life. But I'm keeping my faith because I know something good is going to happen. And I know that because I finished and I've kept my faith and I did not lose hope, I did not quit, I did not give up, now I have a crown. If you want victory in your life, you have to be willing to fight and take the cup. It's not easy. That's why when I was reading this, I stumbled into the story of Joseph and I realized something. Because right now, you might be going through something that you're fighting for. But in the story of Joseph, his brothers were on their way back home. But Joseph snuck a cup inside their bag. Now stay with me here. Because as his brothers are walking, a guy comes up to them and says, hey, you stole this cup. And when they got the bag out, there was the cup. And they knew that that cup meant they were about to die. They were about to be slaves. At best, they would go to prison. But that cup represented something difficult for them to have. Something that would mean suffering and hardship. And when they saw their cup, now listen, when they saw that cup, all of a sudden, in their mindset, they thought it was over. You see, they were on their way home with a little bag of wheat. But when they got that cup, they said, it's over. I wonder how many things in your life are you saying it's over? Because you don't know in the 7 years of this church how many times we've said, it's over. We can't. But here's what's interesting. Joseph put that cup in their bag. Because he knew it would be the only way to get them back into Egypt, into the palace. My point is this. Because of that cup, they thought it was over. But what they did not realize was because of that cup, their life was about to be blessed like they never imagined. That they would go back to that palace and Joseph was about to forgive them and take them in. And they thought one bag of wheat was good enough. They had unlimited supplies of wheat for the rest of their lives. How awesome is God when He puts a cup in your life that tells you, oh, it's over. I can't get through this. I'm not going to make it. This is the worst. I'm never going to come out of this. But you don't realize that God allowed that cup in your life because He's trying to bless you beyond what you've ever imagined. And He's trying to show you that through this cup, I am sending you to greatness. I feel like preaching. Because how many of you, like Joseph, you've had some unexpected cups in your life? You're on your way thinking you're on your way. And a cup shows up. And all of a sudden, that cup that you never saw coming, that you never expected, tells you it's over. It's hard when God throws an unexpected cup in your life. Does God make sense when you get a cup of divorce or you're a widow and you've lost that loved one? When you get that unexpected cup of cancer in your body, when you get that unexpected cup of a job loss, when an unexpected cup comes in your life, Satan tells you it's over. But God says, no, you're just getting started. Because you're on your way to do something that you've never imagined. So whatever cup you've had, understand that God is up to something good. You don't understand how many times I've held a cup that God has just handed to me and my family and this church. And I've just cried and said, Lord, it's over. I mean, I'll show you some pictures of this, but I'll show you the first time we started our service, it was in my mom's living room. That was Ford Fellowship. It was a living room with a few chairs. And in that living room, there's a handful of us, not knowing what God was going to do. There were moments that we didn't know how we were even going to have a building, where we were going to meet to worship. We had this little clear jar. Remember that jar? Anyone remember that jar? And our tithe was, I remember, it was $32. That was a cup for me. Because I said, Lord, how are we going to do a ministry with $32 at our best effort? And we met in that living room like it was our church. We worshiped, we read the Bible, we fellowshiped, just like we do now. That's what the Bible says, do not despise the days of small beginnings. And we prayed and we prayed. And God led me one day when I was at lunch, and the Holy Spirit just hit me and says, get up now. and drive. True story. Never got to eat. Got in my car and I drove, and I ended up in this parking lot. And I felt God tell me, here's your church. But this church was just completely demolished. This was God saying, hey, here's your church. And how much money did we have there, Mom? You remember? $100 in our bank account to renovate this in 3 weeks. What a cuff. But God started bringing in people to donating stuff. And you remember these days, being in church till 4 in the morning, getting electrocuted so many times. That's why I'm so powerful. We're getting shocked. It was horrible. Everyone's getting nails inside them and bleeding. Horrible. Hey, we did it. And you know, I sat down there and I was like, man, God, this is, I don't know if we can do this cup. We're not going to make this over. We can't do this, God. And God has said, I agree with you. You've never been more right, David, but I can. But before this building, we were in a movie theater. Remember that one? Man, that movie theater. Oh, that's me with long hair. That was crazy, too. That movie theater. Look at Dad's face. He's saying, he's crazy. He's crazy, this kid I raised. We had to be out there at 6 in the morning pushing this cart full of equipment, building a stage every Sunday, not knowing who was going to show up, just praying that we'd have a decent service. And those were hard years that I remember going inside the bathroom stall bawling, saying, God, that we can't do this. It's not going to work. It's over. Because when you hold the cup like Joseph Brothers, you say, it's over. But God had something else in mind. When we finally finished our church, and we sat there together and prayed over it, I couldn't believe that God took us from a living room to this place. Did I doubt? All the time. Did I question? All the time. Was I afraid? Yes, but here's the secret. Do it afraid. Do it afraid. And I just want to have a little secret for you. We haven't gotten our crown yet. We're only beginning. And God is going to do something great in this life, in this church. But I want you to know that the same God that did this for our church will do it for your life. So as I close, I'll tell you this. Maybe you have some unexpected cups. And you've gone through hardships and you're saying, Pastor, when I got this cup in my life, it was so hard. It was so difficult to go through this. It was so unexpected. But understand that God works all things for good for those who love Him. And whatever unexpected cup you've gotten in your life is because with the other hand, God is saying, there's a crown. You're going to get through this. I want to tell someone, I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but just yesterday you were on your knees telling God it's over. Your crown's coming. Your victory's on the way. But God says, listen, drink from this cup. Trust me. Because when you drink from this cup, the crown is coming. Don't ever tell God it's over. That's what I've learned in 7 years. Don't ever tell God what's going to happen. Don't ever declare anything that God has not declared. Just keep your faith and fight. You keep going. Keep believing. Keep pushing. And the more cups you get, I'm telling you, you get good at drinking cups. You really do. Because you're able to look back and you say, if I went through that cup, I can go through this cup. So when Jesus was on that cross, he told God, he says, if this cup can be passed, do it. But if not, let your will be done. On that cross, Jesus suffered. He was taken advantage of. He was rejected. He even asked God why. See, when I never realized this until I read it. But if you've ever been in a place in your life you think God doesn't understand you, God understands you more than you think. Because that cross is Jesus' way of saying, I know what suffering is. So I know what you're going through. When Jesus was on that cross and they took advantage of him, they were telling him, Jesus, we love you. But a week later, they were crucifying him. And in this church, there's people that have been taken advantage of. They've been used. Discarded. Hey, Jesus understands you. That cross represented rejection. His own friends, his best friends, but John weren't there. All but one. And I know you've been rejected. You've been hurt. You've been betrayed by someone that you loved. But Jesus looks at you today and he says, I understand. Even Jesus on that cross asked God why. And maybe you're asking God today why. I don't understand this. Well, Jesus says, I've been there. I've asked God questions. Why? See, Jesus, there's one thing I want you to always remember. Jesus relates to your pain. But you will also relate to his victory. So let that sink into your spirit, because he relates with you right now. And you're going to relate with him in victory. The same Jesus that went through this and came out of it victorious and risen. Do you not understand that you're going to get through this right now and you're going to rise from this and you're going to see the glory of God prevail? So you keep fighting. You keep keeping that faith and you keep holding on. You're probably thinking, well, what about that woman, Pastor? What happened to her? I mean, she was bold enough to even go up to Jesus. You know what I love about Jesus? The Bible says to have confidence to go to him. And just ask. It's crazy because she says, I want my two sons to drink this cup. I want my two sons to have a crown. And Jesus says, well, they have to go through this cup. What I love about this is those two sons were James and John. James and John, some of the greatest disciples he had, who would go around the world and preach the gospel, who would suffer, who went through it all. But what I love about this is that James and John said, Lord, We want our crowns. And if it takes a cup to get it, we'll drink it. Do you have that kind of faith to tell God, I want victory. I want to be blessed. I want to see you work, God. And I'm willing to drink that cup. I will suffer. I will go through hardship. I will go through rejection. I will go through loneliness. I will go through anything I have to go through, knowing I'm going to get through it for my crown. So today, if you're going through a cup season, there's a crown season on the way. And the greatest thing about all of this is that when you go through cups that you don't understand and it is hard, what I love about what Jesus did on that cross is he proved to us that if he can overcome death and that same power lives in us, imagine what you will overcome. Because you ain't dead. You're alive. And your problem compared to death is nothing. But if Jesus can overcome death, the Word of God says that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. So do you believe that you're going to go through this cup and there's a crown on the way? Are you going to fight? Let me ask this. Do I have any fighters in this church? Do I have any fighters that say, it's a good fight, bring it on, devil? Because I know there's a crown coming. And I'm not going to give up. So can we all rise? I want to pray for y'all today here. With every head bowed and every eye closed today. 7 years and counting. God's not done with us. We're going to have a crown. It's going to really surprise us. But maybe you came into this church with the crown. Maybe you came into the church with a cup. And you're telling God, I don't understand this, and this is hard. But hey, I want to close this service by telling anyone here, like this woman that we read about, no matter what you're going through, no matter who you are, no matter what you are, no matter what you've lost, like this woman, you can go straight to Jesus. Could ask him for anything. But the greatest thing you could ever ask Jesus for is for his salvation. Amen. For his blood to be poured on your sins and forgiven. And he will receive you just as you are. In the 7 years of this church, I've seen the worst of the worst become the best of the best. And some of them are here today. But they all had this in common. They came to this altar here in this church. And like Jesus, they said, Father, into your hands I surrender. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus couldn't understand and he said why, the last thing out of his mouth was, into your hands I give it all. Commit my spirit. See, Jesus taught us that when you have a cup you don't understand, you just give it to the Lord in his hands. So if you have a cup this morning, I want you to come to this altar. I want to pray over you as Frankie leads us in this song of worship. If you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life today, you come to this altar. And I'll pray with you one-on-one. If you want God to bless you, to change you, but your cup is in the way, I want to pray over you today. As Frankie leads this worship, I'm going to open up this room here, this altar, so I can just pray with you, church. Because for 7 years, we've been praying for people and seeing him do miracles. Let's worship. God bless you. Thank you. Well, can you give God some praise this morning for God's blessed? You know, it was a special service today, highlighting some of the things we've gone through as a church. We've had a good time, but I want to pray for all of you here in the room today that have come to church with a cup that you think is too hard to bear. But understand, some cups cannot be passed. That's why I want to tell you that clearly. Some cups cannot be passed. You have to go through it. But knowing that all cups bring a crown. So you keep fighting. You keep holding on to that faith of yours. Knowing that right when you think you're headed for disaster, God surprises you with something better than you ever imagined. That's the story of Joseph and his brothers. That's the story of this woman who came to Jesus. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this message. Father, this has been a church filled with cups, filled with pain, burden. I just pray, Lord, that you keep bringing people to this ministry that has cups, that they may see the crown behind them. I pray for anyone here or listening online now who can't understand what you're doing. Just pray, Lord, you give them the fight that they need to keep going, to keep the faith, knowing the crown is on the way. Lord, thank you. 7 years of provision, 7 years of blessing. I thank you for every cup we've had here, because they've taught us, they've changed us, and they've reminded us of your power and your glory. Father, as we go through many more years and many more cups, I know that this is a fighting church that the devil has tried many times to bring down. But what that devil doesn't know is we love to fight in this church. And we know it's a good fight. Keep us strong. Keep us in your path. In Jesus' name, give him a shout of praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.